Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praises. Lord, we thank you that we all are alive today, Father God, and we are here in your presence. As your word is being brought forth, Father God, may they hear you and not me. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you take full control. Amen. So you guys know we're going to Genesis, and I'm doing Genesis 9 and a little bit of 10. But I just wanted to touch on last week what Pastor Rob said when God said he looked at us, the creation that he created, and he was angry and he was disappointed that the people he created in his own image were living such sinful and disdain lives, that he was so angry he said, I am going to flood the earth, I'm going to destroy them. Imagine as a parent having to think that about your child. And as I was preparing my sermon, the Lord just, you know, impressed that on my heart, and it was so strong, and I was filled with so much sadness, because as a child, if your parent said to you, I want nothing more to do with you, I am cutting you off from this family, you are a disgrace, that is painful. But God is so merciful and so good. Even though he did that, he still had a backup plan. So even though he was angry with the creation, which was us and everybody else before, he still said, you know what, I will flood the earth, but not everyone. The faithful ones that remain were the ones now that would reproduce and bring forth a new generation. It's something like a plant. If you plant a flower and it is dying because of the weeds or maybe the soil is not good, you either water the soil or you take the root up and you cut it and you put it in again and replant it and you take better care of it, that you don't get the same results from the first time. And that's exactly what God is doing with us. Second chances over and over all the time, even though he knows in his infinite that we will fail. He still says, I'm going to give you a try. I'm still going to work with you, even though I know tomorrow you're going to get up and you're going to make that same mistake that you made last week, or you're going to make a different mistake. You're going to come back, you're going to repent, ask for forgiveness, and it's a repeat cycle over and over again. Who in this world has that patience other than God? Because we get tired of our kids messing up. We get tired of ourselves messing up. But God is so merciful. That is why he can make a message out of a mess. Amen. So let's jump into the sermon. So it is, God confirms his covenant. Any ideas what is a covenant? Not you, Pastor Rob. You already know. You and Steppy are on ban. Anybody else knows what is the meaning of a covenant? Thank you. Something like a contract. But our covenant was not signed by paper. Our covenant was signed in blood. But we'll get to that one a bit later. So it goes, God blessed Noah and his sons and told them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. All the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, and all the small animals that scurry along the ground, and the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. I have given them to you for food, just as I have given you grain and vegetable. But you must never eat any meat that still has the lifeblood in it. Now, I love what God said after he flooded the earth. He blessed Noah and his sons. Imagine slaving away for maybe 450 years, building this ark that everybody thought you were a cuckoo. Because nobody ever believed that there was going to be a flood. But Noah was persistent in doing what God asked him to do. And that is what stood out. We can only be blessed if we are persistent in doing what God has called us to do without wavering. Even when that journey looks to everybody else like it's madness, we must remember that God has the end plan. And that is where Noah stood. Noah stood on God's word that even if I look like a crazy person to everyone in the sight of God, I am doing what is right. And look the reward that Noah got. God blessed him. And not only him, his sons. So our blessings are not just for us. Our blessings are also for our descendants and the people surrounding us, because a blessing is something that is shared. So if I have a word from God and nobody else believes it, and only Pastor Rob believes that word with me, therefore my blessing will extend to him, because we carry the same faith. Everybody else, you will carry your own cross, because you're not jumping on my blessing when you did not believe. I'm not taking any casual riders, because you didn't believe the process, so why should you then enjoy the reward? God is a rewarder, but it comes with a condition. You cannot be rewarded if you don't have faith. Because you cannot be saying, oh God, I trust you for healing. But then when you go to the doctor and he says, okay, you've got 6 months to live, you forget that he's Jehovah Rapha. And you're like, oh, I'm going to die in 6 months. I need to do this. No, if you believe that the covenant that God has made with you, that you will live for a long time, you can go and have a conversation with God and plead your case. Well, God, you said I will live to 150 years. How is it that a doctor is saying I've got 6 months to live? I bind that word, because you are the one who created me. You have the timeline on my life, not the enemy, not the doctors. I don't hold that word. Now that is the God we serve, a covenant-keeping God. He is not fake. He is not fake. God cannot be wished away. He cannot be talked away. People try to dilute who he is, but we know who he is because we have evidence of who God is. On Friday, I was having a really bad day for some unknown reason after I left the church with Steppy. I need to take my shoes off, guys. And as we were walking, going down Wiggin Road, there was a half rainbow, just half. And I was like, God, thank you for your faithfulness. Rashida looked back and she was like, what? I said, listen, that is a promise. That is a promise. And I'm holding that promise that that half of a rainbow that I'm seeing, God is saying, no, it doesn't matter what yesterday was, tomorrow will be better. And I had a beautiful day on Saturday. Woo! So you see, it's only to believe. And then God said, be fruitful and multiply. He meant multiply and make more children and get a bigger population. But be fruitful and multiply for us as children of God means go and win souls for Christ. Go and give the word for Christ. Let our lives be a representative of who Jesus is. Let people want to know that God that we serve. Let people want to know that God that said, you know what, Moses, just put your staff there and I will part the Red Sea that you and the Israelites can go through. Isn't it? No, that is the God that we serve. The world is in chaos, but we as Christians, we are not supposed to be afraid, because God made a covenant. And he said he's coming back for us. So if this world is in peril, we know we will not perish, because he said, I am coming back for you. So if God is coming back for us, everything around us can crumble, but we will remain standing because we are on fertile soil. Come on. We ain't got no mock God. We have a God that is so faithful. We have a God that when we call upon his name, things must change, but it's the way we call on his name. Because we can't do a wish-wash prayer and expect God to answer it. We need to pray a wholehearted prayer, a prayer believing that even before I have come to you, I believe that you have given me that answer that I desire according to your will. And I'm not coming in like I'm begging, because you don't beg your parents. You go as a child with the assurance that if I ask my mom for £5, it is given. And if she doesn't have it, she will find it. That's the same thing with God. But he has everything in his hand. But all he's saying, I will give you this, but I need that from you. It's a fair trade. It's a very fair trade, because all he's asking us to do is be faithful. Be faithful and follow his 10 commandments. and to represent him, to live our lives in a way that we can see that Christ is shining upon us. Amen. So we're jumping along, guys. Okay, I just picked a few bits out. I've not, put everything into it. I've picked the most important bits out. So then he said he's given them the authority over everything. The animals, what birds, everything, God has given them authority. Imagine that. The master of the universe that created everything said to Noah and his sons, I'm giving you authority. Now that is brilliant. Because that is like a CEO of a business saying, okay, Pastor Rob, I am giving you my business to run. Hold the paperwork. Run the business the way you see fit, and I will step back. You have the authority to hire and to fire. Yeah, that is a blessing. But it's how are you going to use it? In Luke 10:19, God said, we have the power and the authority to trample upon snakes and scorpions. So we've got the authority to trample on the enemy and sickness and death because he has given us that authority, but we have to use it faithfully and not weak. We must remember, God said, I have the authority. So if I'm going for a bank loan and my credit is bad, I am still saying, you know what? I'm getting this loan because God has given me the authority that when I go in, his favor is over me. And the person that I'm going to sit upon, they are going to see Christ shining upon me. And everything else that is written against me must confirm for me that I will be victorious through Christ. Because he's given me the authority. So I'm going to use it. Because if God has given us the authority, heaven is backing us. Because whatever he says, it must be done. The angels cannot dispute what God has said. So if God said, go forth and make sure that when Steppy gets to that corner, that truck that is coming will stop. It has to stop. Because God's word cannot be altered and his word cannot be changed. Because him and his word are one. So therefore, any authority that we have, use it for the glory of God and know the power and the authority that we have. We have the authority to speak life over our children when they are going the wrong way. We have the authority to send the devil packing, but are we going to use that authority that has been given to us? Are we going to say, you know what? My children are just going astray. It's a phrase that they're going through. Eventually, they'll come back. Or are we going to take our arms and begin to fight with the word of God against the enemy? Amen? Amen. Okay. So now we are to 5. All right. Then he said, verse 5. And I will require the blood of anyone who takes another person's life. If a wild animal kills a person, it must die. And anyone who murders a fellow human must die. If anyone takes a human life, that person will also, their life will be taken. For God made human being in his own image. Now be fruitful and multiply and repopulate the earth. Now you see, he says it again. Be fruitful and multiply. That's the second time he said it. In one chapter. So he's emphasizing what he wants us to do as children of God. If we are coming to church, we need to tell people about God that they can also want to come. But if they don't come, at least we have done our part where we have spoken God's word to them. The choice is theirs. Now he said, if anyone kills, you should be killed. In this life that we're living, people just kill because they can kill. Then they go to prison and get fat off of taxpayers' money. Imagine if that law was still enforced. If the country was actually, or the world was actually being run by this, what God said in these times. I believe we would have a better world. But people would be angry. But I honestly believe if we were in these times, people will think twice about the evil that they do because it will be enforced back to them. An eye for eye, ain't it? But nobody lives by the word of God anymore. God's word is chosen, which ones we think suit us. Yeah? because we want good for ourselves, but we don't want to do good to others. We want to be blessed, but we don't want to be a blessing to others. We pick and choose God's word. Like your friend might come and say to you, oh, you know what? I've met this guy and I've met this guy and he's married. And you, because you don't want to step on her toes, you ain't saying nothing. You're there like, oh, well, if he's a nice guy. No. The word of God said, that is adultery. So whether he's a nice guy, he's not your guy. He has somebody else. He's been married to somebody else. And if you put yourself in that mess, trust and believe that whatever happens, it's on you. Don't go blaming God. Don't be saying like, oh, God can put him in the way and maybe they'll get a divorce. No. You just go your merry little way. Eh? Because God said what he has put together, let no man put asunder. Do not interfere in God's work. Whether you believe that it could be a different situation or not, it has nothing to do with you because God does not make mistakes. Like, I used to follow this pastor, and one day I was listening to him speaking, and he said he thinks that God made a mistake when he only created women and men. I was like, buddy, you've lost the plot. God in himself can make a mistake. God. If God made woman and man, it is for a reason. God did not make transgenders. God did not make anybody else. Lesbians, gays, nothing. I have nothing against those people. I have nothing. I love them the same way. Everybody has a choice. But do not say that God made a mistake. Because if God made a mistake, he wouldn't have burned down Sodom and Gomorrah, would he? God is God. And it's no time for us to lie. And it's no time for us to cuddle people. It's time for us to speak the truth, even if we stand on our own. God created gender, male and female, to multiply. I cannot multiply if I'm with a woman. What am I going to multiply with? I can't multiply if I'm with a man. What am I going to multiply with? So therefore, I am saying, God, how you made me is incorrect. I need you to change me. And how can it be incorrect if he said, we created man in our own image. And he said, our image, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, which is still one. So if he created us in our image, how is it that I'm a girl and I want to be a boy? Get real. It ain't happening. God is God. And the thing it said, he created the earth before he created us. So he prepared everything before he said, let there be a man and let there be a woman. He made sure everything was correct. And then he said, okay, now I'll just put these little people and let them live off of my goodness. And we come and we get the goodness and then we want to abuse it. Because we want to take and take and take and take and change the things that God has done and change the things that God has created. No, it ain't happening. Renario said to me the other day, the teacher said, your parents are not supposed to say to you that you cannot change your gender. I say, and tell your teacher that the word of God said, I have the authority to change your gender. Because it's not changing. You are who you are. If you want to be anything else, maybe God can take you home and change you and bring you back. That's the only changing we're doing. Because my children's mind will not be altered by the mind of people that don't know God's word. You are supposed to teach my child, but I'm supposed to educate my child on the things of the kingdom because he's only passing through this life. And this world will not saturate his mind that he will think that the dirty things of this world is okay and go against what God has said. Because our children have been given to us to multiply into them, to pour into them. This is not the word that was for today, but this is God's word. Because I think that we are sleeping. We need to be awoke. Because if we continue to sleep, the enemy will take our children. Because he realized, I can't mess with Lucy. Anything that I bring against Lucy, Lucy will stand. But you know what? Nathan is Lucy's seed. If I destroy that seed, I've got a puncture hole into Lucy. But if Lucy covers Nathan, the devil has no walking ground. Yes, he can come and take our children and maybe, like, you know, get them off track or whatever. But if we persist in prayer and if we remain in the covenant that we made with God, they will come back just like the prodigal son, because that seed has already been planted. It may have a bit of dirt on it, but it must come back to life, because Jesus is the true vine. And if we plant it in our kids, it must come to light. Don't forget, Jesus was dead for 3 days. Then he was risen. So anything that is dead, in the name of Jesus, it must come alive. Amen? Amen. Now we're getting somewhere. Okay, here we go. Then God told Noah and his sons, verse 8, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants, and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, giving every living creature on earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will floodwaters kill a living creature. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with and all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, the rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all the living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. When I see the rainbow in the clouds, I remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. Then God said to Noah, yes, this rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on the earth. So after God flooded the earth because people were dirty, and he cleansed it because water is a sign of cleansing, he decided then, I'm going to make a covenant with Noah and his sons. I'm not going to flood the earth again. God didn't have to make any promise to Noah, because who was Noah? Just a servant of God. But God is so good. And I can't emphasize on the goodness of God. Even though he is God, he will still negotiate with us. He will still always say, you know what? Rob has been so good. Even though he's been naughty last week, I'm still going to negotiate a new plan with him, because that's my guy. And even though he falls short, that is still my guy. And the best I have for him must come to pass. So therefore, we're going to get a new strategy. So what is the strategy now that I think that will be okay for Rob, that will work in his favor and also bring glory to my name? And in that case, God said, okay, the only thing that I can promise Noah, that he doesn't have to go through another 450 years of building another ark and being, you criticize again, I will make a covenant that I would not flood the earth again. And my signature for that covenant will be a rainbow. Yeah? Okay. So the rainbow signifies the covenant that God is not going to flood this earth again. Just hold on to that thought. Remember, back in the days when people used to sin, yeah? It was the priests that had to purify themselves and go and pray for the sins of those people. Now me, that was a big sinner and still sin. Imagine I've got like 20 sins I've committed, and I have to wait for you to purify yourself and go and speak to God on my behalf. What are you going to say on my behalf? I don't think that you can plead my sins to me the way that I will plead my case. Yeah, you will pray to God, but you ain't going to be wholeheartedly asking God for forgiveness for me. So therefore, you will go and you will be like, God, Carrie sinned last week, then Olivia sinned last week, Lucy sinned last week, Nathan sinned last week, George sinned last week, Steve sinned last week. You didn't pray. You just mentioned that we sin. You didn't pray and say, well, God, I did this because such and such. And you didn't have a physical conversation with God on my behalf, because there's so many people that you have to intercede and pray for. You cannot spend any time on my case. So then, this is the best part. Jesus was incorporated. Because God realized, like, these priests ain't doing a good job. Because people still sinning every minute. And the priests now have to go back every minute, purify themselves. And best believe, those priests had their own sins as well. And I'm telling you, if I'm praying for Lucy and I've sinned, I'm praying for myself first and then Lucy after. I ain't praying for Lucy first. So I'm going to put me first and pray wholeheartedly for me. And then be like, Lord, forgive Lucy too, as you're forgiving me. So God was like, this plan ain't working out. This is too much hard work for Rob. Rob is praying for a whole congregation. So you know what? I'm going to give him Jesus as the gift, as the new world covenant. And Jesus came into play, and a new covenant was implemented that we were able to access the Father on our own. Woo! Amen. Everybody said amen. Amen. But no, I'm not saying to say amen. I said you guys say amen. But do you remember the sacrifice that Jesus made that we can actually say amen? Yeah. He took the whipping. He took the cursing, the spitting, the thorns on his head. And then he was crucified for our sins. And that's not even the worst part for the beginning of this beautiful covenant. It said God could not even look upon Jesus because the sin was so great. Imagine that. I mean, I ain't dying for nobody's sin. You people will repent on your own. But that is why Jesus is Jesus. And when Jesus was on that cross, he said, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they have done. But we know what we have done, because after the new covenant with Jesus, we still continue to sin. So how do we not know what we're doing? Sin is a choice. We can choose. Temptation leads to sin. If we resist temptation, there will be no sin. But temptation comes from our wicked natures. And the things that we so desire of this world that does not align with the word of God. But we have a new covenant. And that new covenant has given us grace. And in that grace, we've got a little space still as well, you know. Because I can go and sin tomorrow. I'm not saying that I did. I said I can. And then when I wake up and I catch myself that I've done that, I'd be like, oh, I can pray. Lord, forgive me for sinning. But did I really mean it? If I premeditated it in my head and executed the plan, why am I asking for forgiveness? Because I know that God is faithful and he will forgive me. But if we can sit and premeditate to sin, do we really deserve forgiveness? No. But that is why God is God. And any covenant that he makes with us, he will keep it despite of whatever we might do, wherever we might go. His covenant will remain the same. We see floods happening, but it has never flooded the earth. The floods are bad, but it has never flooded the earth. And in all truthfulness, we should be flooded out. Yeah, if we're being honest. Because we're not really doing what we have been called to do. Because we get so caught up in the things of this world that we forget that heaven is our end goal. And anything that we do should be going up to heaven. It should be a mark in heaven. I don't want to go to heaven. And when I get there, God is like, you know what? You can just sit over here and sing with the angels because this is what I had for you. But because you were so focused on all these things, you've missed out. I'll be like, send me back. Send me back. Give me a second chance. But instead of finding ourselves in that situation, let us do what we've been called to do. When we go home, we can hear, well done, my faithful daughter and son. You have executed your purpose to a T.
Even though you've made mistakes, even though you fall short, you have fulfilled it. Because me, I want to meet David in heaven. I love that man. I want to meet him. I want to say, listen, you are a man after God's own heart. But he said to me, I'm a girl after his own heart. We on the same team. Yeah. I'm excited about going to heaven. I used to be afraid to die until I understand the love that God has for me. That death is even better than what we are doing here on earth. Because here on earth we suffer. We have so much going on. In heaven, I ain't got to pay no bills. I ain't got to do nothing. I saw a quote and I laughed. I was like, the lady said in this quote, Jesus died for all our sins, so why are we paying bills? I was like, that's so true. It's true. Why are we paying light and water when Jesus died for all these things? But it was just a funny quote. But the thing is, if you look into it deeper, Jesus did die for everything. It is us that make a mess off of the covenant that he made with us. Because we don't need to be in the situations that we are if we remain on the path that Jesus has set for us. But because we can't keep our eyes straight and we wobble, our eyes wobble, we always find ourselves on the deep end. But you know, Jesus always has a net and he pulls us back. And the other covenant that he made is that he will be interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. Even after death, this man is still interceding for us. Me, I've died and done my part. Why should I intercede for you people that are down here on earth? I'm in heaven living my best life. I did my part. But Jesus is like, no, I will not leave you out in the shallow. I will still be that person that is interceding. I will still be that person that will be like, you know, Dad, just ease up a bit. Yeah. Don't be too hard on Steppy. Just rest it there. I've got her. I'll bring her back. Imagine that's what Jesus is actually doing. Like, you know, sometimes God might say, you know what, Carrie's been saying she'd rather be at home in heaven. So I think when she goes to sleep tonight, I'll bring her home. And Jesus is like, she's not fulfilled that purpose yet. Don't listen to that girl. She's crazy. And then God is like, yeah, it's true. That's one of my crazy kids. But I'm crazy for God. I remember Pastor Rob said that a few years back, like maybe 7 or more years back, he said he was crazy for God. And I was sitting there, I was thinking like, how can you be crazy for God? But you don't know it until you experience it. And when you look back at everything that came to crush you and where God has brought you, you can say you are crazy for God because he never left us. And even when we think that we were unable to carry ourselves, he was the one that carried us. He picked us up and he carried us and he carries us every single day. I just want you to remember the covenant that God has made over our life. It is dear. Use it. Stop sleeping on it. Remember the promises. Remember why the covenant came into place. Remember the rainbow, but most of all, remember Jesus. Do not let what Jesus did on that cross for us that day be in vain. Do not let God have to say, you know what, I'm tired of my children. Let him say, you know what? My children are weary, but they're trying. My children are hurting, but they're still believing that the good is going to come at the end. Cry out to God and remind him that he made a promise that when we need him, he will answer. And watch and see that he will do it. Because that covenant has been signed in eternal blood. And no blood can change that. So if that covenant that we have with Jesus has been signed, sealed, and delivered, we are already victorious. We already have the victory over every situation that comes against us. We cannot be defeated because we are children of God. Begin to act like it. Begin to live it. Begin to speak it. This girl said, I'm a rich girl in a poor girl's body, and I felt that. Because I was like, I'm a child of God. So why am I not acting like it sometimes? Why am I walking? I've got the whole world upon my shoulder. When Jesus said he's taking the burden for me to take his yoke. And then I was like, well, here, God, take that. And that, and that. And I said, by the way, take your kids, because they're stressing me out. Yeah. Because sometimes we just want to talk to God like, you don't know how to speak to him. He wants us to come as his friend, as his daughter, as his son. Speak to him the way that you will speak to Steppy. Like, I go to Steppy and I moan about my kids. And I'll be like, I don't like them, but I love them. And then I say the same thing to God, because I'm like, God, you know what? I am tired, because I've been praying and I've not been seeing any change. But that is the same thing with God. He has tried and tried and tried, and there hasn't been any change. Only for a little bit. And then we go back to the same place again. So we are only basically getting back what we're giving out, isn't it? Yeah. Because I said to God the other day, like, I'm not going to call my daughter's name in case she sees this on Facebook and she's having, anyway. And I said to God, listen, I'm sick and tired of this child. Her attitude is bad. I said, listen, you need to fix her attitude. And I kid you not, hand on heart, God said, that was your attitude. I stomped off like a sad child. I was like, what? And when I sat down and I thought about it, it was my attitude at her age. And God reminded me, your mother never ceased to pray for you. Do the same. I was like, come on. But it is real. And most things that happen in our lives is to train us for where we are going and for where he's going to take us. But the good thing about it is that he never leaves us. So I'm going to wrap up now, guys, because Pastor Rob is giving me the eye like. I'm only joking. So after that, they lived, you know, a good and happy life. I'm just going to finish with this part. So coming on to the end of it, Noah, and Pastor Rob touched this last week as well. Noah had a drink, and he got drunk, and he fell asleep. And for me, I can understand. Same way what Pastor Rob said last week. You would need a drink, basically, after everything that you've been through. And he's not had anything to drink in 450 years. 150 years, I think, they were on the boat. Yeah, so he's not had anything to drink. So, like, even if it was just a tiny glass, he would have been drunk. But the thing that stood out for me was his nakedness and how his son wanted to expose it. And the other two produced the goodness of God. They got a robe, they walked in backwards, and they covered the nakedness of their dad. And that is God also covering us in our nakedness, protecting us from the bad things that are going to come, because he also took his cloak and he covers us, and he said, that is my protection hedge around you, my firewall. And then after that, Noah cursed his son, and I was like, that was a bit harsh. But then I understood why. It's a repercussion. If you are not in a place where you can show love when it is needed, sometimes you don't deserve that love to be showed to you either. Because if we don't understand what humility is, we can't show it. We can't live it. And for me, in that instant, that son was proud. It was a happy moment that he caught his father in an unguarded situation. Because maybe to him in his mind somewhere, he was thinking, like, why did God choose my father and not me? It's just my thought. Because otherwise, why would you want to do that to your dad after all that he's done to protect you and your family? Would you not have just covered your dad up and not even said anything to anyone? Because you'll be thinking like, you know what? My dad just made a simple mistake. It's fine. I don't need to share it with the whole world. So I'll just leave that one for thought. Like, we need to understand people's situations before we pass judgment. Because my situation is not Steppy's situation. What Pastor Rob can handle, I can't handle. And we all walk different journeys. So if you do see someone falling, do not be quick to point it out that they're failed or they're falling. Be quick to say, let me help you up, because I am my brother's keeper. Because that is what is required of us as children of God. Amen. Amen. So that's been my little sermon, guys. And you guys know that I always get Pastor Rob to close in prayer. So I'll pass over to the big boss. the big boss. Come on, you're the big shepherd here.
Oh, that great. It was, wasn't it? It was really good. That was called preaching. Right. Father God, I just want to say thank you because you've cheered me up no end this morning. I was miserable when I came in. Thank you for your word, Lord. And just pray that you'll bless us all for the rest of the day and the rest of the week and that we will carry out what you've caused us to carry out, Lord. We will just love the neighbor next door or the guy across the desk at work or wherever it is, Lord, and just smile and let them know that Jesus, you are alive and you do care. Whatever's going on in the world, victory belongs to you. In Jesus' name, amen.